Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life can be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Well, good morning, Father's House. How you doing out there? Awesome, awesome, awesome. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Pastor Tim, and I'm just proud and honored to serve as your Freedom and Care pastor. Hey, how many of you have never heard Rick Godwin speak? You are in for a treat. This is a powerful man of God. Okay, so please don't miss this Sunday when he's going to be here on the 18th. You know, he is Pastor Terry's pastor. He pastors a church in San Antonio, Texas, and he's just a powerful, strong man of God. And I know he has a word for the house. Invite somebody, bring somebody, please. Again, I'm so honored to be standing up here today, but I got something to tell you. Do you know there's only 362 days until Christmas? Woo! I'm telling you, life comes and goes fast, right? Where did 2025 go? One minute we're making big plans, big goals, big resolutions. The next minute we're treating life like a series of gigs, a little hustle here, a little scramble there. So for me, the moment that I realized 2025 had officially gotten away from me was the day I opened my calendar and I discovered I had double reminders for things that I don't even remember scheduling in the first place. I thought, okay, who scheduled these appointments at the same time? Duh, it was me, right? Future me had betrayed present me. Sort of felt like the whole year was one big gig, running from thing to thing, appointment to appointment, text, deadlines, stuff that breaks at the worst possible moment. We're putting out fires. We're juggling responsibilities, like part-time jobs we never applied for. Who here has ever had a part-time job? Like, not that was your only job, but a full-time job and then a part-time job behind it. Really great idea in the beginning, isn't it? It's a really, really cool idea. When I was working as an investigator for the state, I was going to get a part-time job at making donuts, okay? So I thought it'd be great, right? Donuts, I mean, come on. So I drive to the donut place, and I get up there, and I'm actually working the counter the first night. And the guy in the back comes out, and he says something, and I'm asking, yeah, hey, what do we actually make here? And he said, oh, we just split the tips. What do you mean we just split the tips? There's not an hourly wage? Well, no, it's like $2 because you're considered like a server. And I have to work all night? I was like, bro, you're going to hate me. You're going to hate me for this. See ya. Part-time jobs, I mean, they become a real job. But, you know, that's when kind of life hits you. But I'm here to tell you today, you are not living out a calling if your life has no joy. You're just living a gig. You're running from gig to gig. You show up, you do the task, you move on. You're too busy to slow down. You're too stretched to see, too tired to really notice other needs. See, God never designed your life to be a series of tasks or errands or appointments. Your life is not a gig. It's a divine calling, a divine assignment, a purpose for which does not disappear when the calendar ends. Today we're going to take a look at what the Bible says and learn how to stop living like we're just clocking in for random gigs and start living like we're living a divine call full of joy. Who wants to live full of joy? Yeah, I know that I do. So stay with me, hear what I'm saying today, what comes from the Holy Spirit, and we're going to find out how to live a life of joy. Unfortunately, when we live our life as a gig, we continually just chase happiness. We search for the next physical, emotional, or spiritual high. We move from thing to thing, job to job, promotion to promotion, party to party, outing to outing. See, happiness is a fleeting external feeling. It's based on external worldly achievements, circumstances, or events. It's very self-focused. It's all about me. It drives us to get more stuff, go here, go there, try to chase that next thing that's going to make us happy, because blank has the latest and greatest blanks. You fill in the blanks. It could be fishing. It could be golf. It could be anything that drives you, a new vehicle. Oh, I've had this one a year. Now I got to go trade it in. Oh, I've had this job. I need a better job. I need something else. See, we're always comparing ourselves to what someone else had. Teddy Roosevelt said this, comparison is the thief of joy. Think about that. When we compare ourselves, we lose our joy. Paul in Philippians 4:11 said it this way, I'm not complaining about having too little. I've learned to be satisfied or get by with what I have. I mean, what a great place to live in. Paul said, I've had much, I've had little, but now I've learned, and I've not only learned to live like this, I've learned to be satisfied in whatever it is that I have, wherever I find myself. And that's because he wasn't chasing happiness. He had the joy that came from fulfilling the divine purpose that God had called him to. God called him out of a life of persecuting Christians into a life of making disciples and leading others to Jesus. And he found joy in this. See, unfortunately, when we live our life as a gig, we end up finding ourselves in a state that's known as anhedonia, and it's defined as this. It's the reduced ability or inability to experience pleasure from activities that are typically enjoyable. We lack motivation, and we withdraw from the social life or hobbies. In other words, the things that used to bring us joy and pleasure no longer do. We have to take it a step further, more, more, more. The normal things that make us happy, the normal things, walking by a field of beautiful flowers, looking up at the stars and seeing, looking up at the sky and seeing the stars, reaching over and taking my wife's hand as we go for a walk. These things no longer bring us the joy because we're always chasing something more. We end up living our lives in a constant state of physical, emotional, and unfortunately, spiritual detachment. We're overwhelmed, we're tired, we're drained, and so what do we do when that happens? We withdraw, and we put another brick in the wall. Come on, somebody. We keep everybody at arm's length. Just to keep ourselves sane, right? We push back and we say, no longer am I going to do this. I'm just going to build that wall. Because when that wall's up, then I don't have to worry about anybody getting in. But more than that, I don't have to worry about other people's needs. Oh, we go through the motions. We still go on our job, our spouse, our kids, activities, hobbies, church, even God. Becomes just another checkoff. Okay, I made it to church. I got up, I read the verse of the day, checked that off. I prayed over my food, I checked that off. But we don't find any joy in these things. Instead of that joy, we've become like Pink Floyd, comfortably numb. And we've totally built our wall, 100%, to keep everybody, and unfortunately, even the presence of God, out of our life. But I'm here to tell you, there's another way to live, a better way to live, a more fulfilling way to live. Living by the calling lives your life in joy. It leads you to living a life of joy. Joy, on the other hand, is a long-lasting state of being. It's actually a fruit of the Spirit. In case you forgot what a fruit of the Spirit is, our Kids City kids, our Children's Church kids can tell you, but man, I wish they were here, but they're not. So you know what? I'm just going to have to tell you myself. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Thanks, Pastor Chris. So the joy in the fruit of the Spirit, I know it, buddy. The joy is internal, and it's based on a relationship with God. It's not based on all the external things I can have. It's based on knowing that a God that created the world, who sent his Son to die for me, wants to come and live inside of me and lead me and guide me. Joy can exist through trials, through sufferings, through hardship. It can continue. It causes us to be outwardly focused on others and not only on ourselves. But you know, I know life is chaotic. And with all the chaos of life, how do we live in this place called joy? Again, The old children's church song says it best. Let's see if any of you second service people knew it, because I was completely on my own at first service. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. No old, some of you got children's church kids in there? No old, okay. So it's Jesus and others in you, right? It's a wonderful way to spell joy. And we're going to take a look at that today. But this formula of putting Jesus first, others next, and then ourselves is actually equally assigned with our mission here at the Father's house. Now, this one you know, say it with me. Love God, love others, serve the world. Let me hear it one more time. Love God, love others, and serve the world. And you say, Tim, that really sounds good, but what are some practical ways, some next steps to find joy by living your life not as a gig, but as a calling? When we choose to live our life in joy, it's purposeful choice. It just doesn't happen. We don't wake up one day and just say, joy has descended upon me, and I will continually walk in it. No, it's a choice. I have to put one foot in front of the other, and I have to be very purposeful in living my life in the joy that Jesus has for me. Let's look at J first. To find joy, we have to have Jesus. John 1:43 in the Amplified says this. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me as my disciple, accepting me as your master and teacher, walking the same path that I walk. Man, follow me as your master, as your teacher. He loves you so much. He wants to impart everything that he has into you. He wants to walk beside you, never leave you, never forsake you. In the good times, the bad times, he's going to be there. He just says, follow me. Some action steps that we can do this, obviously to follow him, we have to choose to accept Jesus. Now, for some of you that have never made that decision to accept Jesus as your Savior, at the end of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity for that. And I know that that's something that you would want to do because you could start your year off living in the greatest joy, having the greatest year you ever had. The next thing to do is to learn, to choose to learn about Jesus. See, the more we know someone, the more you can learn to love them. Now, when I first saw my wife, some almost 39, 40 years ago, walking up the steps of my buddy's apartment when we were downstairs, I fell in love with her immediately. Love at first sight. But you know, I had to grow in love with her, I had to get to know her better. And I had to spend time with her, learn her likes, her dislikes, what made her tick, to see the woman that I know God had created her to be. I had to spend time to do that. It's the same with Jesus, right? We have to spend time with him. Think about friends. Your best friend. Now, you guys might have connected when you first met, right? Oh, yeah, we got some great interests. But it doesn't become your best friend, someone that you can share things with, secrets with, hang out with, encourage, without spending time together. I mean, you know, you get to be friends with somebody and then, like, maybe they move away. And you say, hey, we're going to keep in touch. And you do in the beginning. But then it just slowly, slowly fades away. Not that you don't still care for the person, but they're not around. You're not investing that time in them. So we have to invest time. The best way that we can invest time in learning about Jesus is to read his word, to open the Bible and read his word. And so we have a plan to help you with that moving into 2026. This year, we went through the New Testament together as a church. In 2026, we're going to go through the entire Bible, and I love the QR code on this side over here this time. One story that leads to Jesus. We're going to walk through the entire Bible. This is a really, really great way to learn to read the Bible through. There's stories, there's dramas that'll be depicted. It's going to be really, really good along with the scriptures every single day. And we'll be doing it together so you can call your friends up, your family, your husband, your wife, and you can talk about what you've been reading. How many people did this year the New Testament? Anybody do the New Testament with us? Did anybody buy that spiral-bound Bible that we had? Anybody buy it? That Bible is really cool because it's spiral-bound New Testament. So it folds all the way over. It's got great place to take notes. Well, out in our church merch, we have the entire set, the entire Bible that you could buy. If that's something that you really like to take notes, I encourage you to check that out in our church merch. We can order that through there. Choose to spend time with Jesus. Another way that we choose to be like Christ is through baptism. The third Sunday of the month is baptism. If you are newly saved, if you've newly come to the faith, or maybe you were sprinkled as a child, or your parents made you get baptized as a child, and you say, Tim, this is something I would like to do for myself. I would like to renew my relationship with God, and I would like to become baptized. Just take out that connection card Pastor Andrea already talked to us about, and write on there baptism, the third Sunday of the month. What a great way that you could start the new year in baptism. The O in joy is for others. Matthew 5, 33 through 48 tells us this. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. Let's park right there for a second. That's the easy way to do it, right? Love those who love me, push away those who don't. But Matthew says, I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best. He gives the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? I mean, that's the easy thing, right? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run of the mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying here is grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God loves and lives with you. Think about it. It's so easy to say, oh, I'm just not going to deal with that person, right? You see them walking down the hallway at work. You duck down into another office or something like that. Or you're in Walmart and you see that person. You take that cart and you even skid around the corner because you don't want to deal with them. Matthew is telling us those are the people that we need to reach out to. Those are the people that we need to love. We need to be Jesus' hands and his feet because you know what? I didn't say this in the first service, but it just hit me. What if you're in Walmart and it's a divine appointment that God has placed that person there? Maybe you have a word for that person. Maybe they need a prayer. Maybe they just need a smile. Maybe they just need you to say hello to know that somebody actually cares about them. Don't hide from God's divine appointments. They're there for a reason and a purpose. So think about this. Jesus wants to offer the same forgiveness and show the same grace to others that we want and we need from him. I don't know about you, but I need God's grace and his forgiveness on a daily basis. All right? I need that in my life, his grace and his forgiveness. And he wants me to offer that to others the same way that I need that. And so we have some action steps today that we can do. And the first is really, really simple, but it seems to be so hard so often. Choose to be kind. Just choose kindness. Someone is mean to you, respond in kindness. Someone isn't treating you well, respond in kindness. Someone says something bad about you, respond in kindness. One of my greatest favorite theologians is Eeyore. Eeyore will say it like this, a little consideration, a little thought for others makes all the difference. Think about it for yourself. Have you ever been in a really lousy mood and maybe just snapping at people, even people that you care about? And one of those people, instead of responding negatively, responds with kindness. Doesn't it make all the difference to you? Doesn't it make you feel good? Doesn't it maybe set you back and say, wow, They didn't have to respond to me that way. I was kind of being an idiot to them. And they responded with kindness. That's the same thing that we can do for others. Or you know what? If Eeyore didn't sit with you, how about the great philosopher Dalton? Be nice. Just be nice. Somebody talks about you, be nice. Somebody calls your mom a bad name, be nice. Just be nice. Now, some of y'all, the wheels started to turn on that line right there, right? Picking up what I'm throwing out there. All right. We have a great opportunity for you to practice this, just choosing to be kind. To do that, we need to engage in community together. Because, see, so often, it's almost easier to be nice to people out in the world that are mean to us, right? Because we expect that, right? They're not saved. They don't know Jesus. So we expect them to react that way. But when our brothers and sisters in Christ maybe don't feed our ego or treat us just the way exactly we're supposed to, you know, maybe we were walking out there and we said hello and they really didn't hear us and they kept on walking and like, well, she didn't say hello to me today. I'm not saying hello to her next week. You know, something like that. We need to engage in community. And around here, we engage in community. We do life together through life groups. Life groups, again, are going to start up in March. So be prepared to join a life group. And I know some of you are saying, Tim, I don't have time to do a life group. I have so much going on. You know, we all get that way. We all feel that way. And there are times when I have felt, either in the morning life group or an evening life group, I don't want to go to the life group. I just don't want to go. Don't yike it. I want to do it. But I go. And somebody says hello. And I get to speak to one of my brothers. And we talk about maybe the sermon study or a particular study of the Word of God that we're doing. Or maybe we're just talking about, hey, your granddaughter's softball game, how'd she do? Oh, hey, Tim, how's that thing on your job going? Something like that. I tell you this, there has never, ever been a time that I've purposefully went to life group and came out and said, that was terrible, I wish I hadn't gone. It's always the opposite. It's like, I am so glad that I was purposeful in going to life group. So again, life groups are going to start in March. Let's engage in community. Here's one that I have a challenge for you this year. Choose to make amends. Matthew 6 tells us to forgive others so that we may be forgiven. Forgive others so that we may be forgiven. The opposite's a little scary, isn't it? If we don't forgive others, will we not? Glad I'm not God. Glad I don't have to make that decision. So here's the deal. Prior to the new year, whether it was your fault or not, when I said make amends, for some of you, a name popped into your mind. You thought about it. That name just clicked right in your mind. So prior to the new year, whether it was your fault or not, I want you to forgive and make amends with the person that came to your mind. See, forgiveness isn't necessarily for them. It's the right thing to do because your Heavenly Father has forgiven you. Forgiveness is for yourself. It will heal the wound. It will allow you to see that person, even if they don't reciprocate, even if they don't, you know, say, oh, I forgive you too, I'm so sorry. You've lifted that weight off your shoulders. The Holy Spirit will take that weight and throw it away for you, and you don't have to carry that pain, that burden, that hurt anymore. You can replace that with healing and with joy, and you've offered forgiveness to someone else. So I have a friend of mine that, her name's Lucy Nichols, and Lucy grew up, her and her family grew up across the street from us. We live in a family, well, it used to be a family neighborhood where, like, the day after Christmas, it'd be full of bikes and skates and, you know, scooters and all the kids out there playing. The Nichols family grew up across the street from us, and I'm still, you know, kind of close to a couple of the kids there. And Lucy, like a lot of us, kind of wandered away from her roots in Jesus Christ. And just as a testimony, I had the honor and privilege of baptizing Lucy right here this year. And she's completely turned her life around. Yeah. Lucy just sees the good in life. She just sees the good in people now. She allows God to open her spiritual eyes. She posted this yesterday, and I added it to my teaching yesterday morning. She said, you heal differently when you pray for those who mistreat you. You heal differently when you pray for those who mistreat you. Let that one just follow you into the new year. So the why in joy is you. Now, I want you to follow me on this one because it doesn't seem like it's going to make sense, but it will. In 2026, I want you to concentrate on you. And you're saying, well, that's not serving the world if I'm concentrating on me. But catch this. I want you to concentrate on you, not for you, but for others, on how you can be a better person for others. Proverbs 19:17 tells us this. Mercy to the needy is a loan to God, and God pays back those loans in full. That's a really cool verse. I don't know if I've ever read it in the message before. Mercy to the needy is a loan to God, and he will pay back those loans in full. Now, we don't do things just to get things back from God, okay? Let's not get all that theology twisted up. We do it because it's the right thing to do. We do it because he first loved us, so we love others. But God's going to pay that back in full. We're going to store up our treasures in heaven. Think about it like this. Jesus teaches us that when we become our best selves, when we build others up, when we give help and serve, we grow spiritually and we store up our treasures in heaven. So let's always remember this year that we're going to put others, we're going to serve others, and as we serve others, we're going to build ourselves up and be full of that joy that we all want. Some action steps here. The first one is this. I want you to choose freedom and healing this year. Let's lay down our burdens. Let's lay down our hurt. Let's find some help to get rid of the pain that we've been carrying. Because I want you to choose freedom and healing so that you can then share freedom and healing with others. You remember the old breakup? It's not you, it's me. We can't be a better two until I'm a better one. You know, that old cliche. But it's the same thing in our spiritual life, right? How can I be I can be a better minister to others when I'm having and letting God heal the wounds and the hurts that are in my heart, right? I get healed, and then I can share that healing with others. Actually, the theme verse of our Freedom and Care Department is this. It's 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, and it says, "Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father is a merciful God who always gives us comfort. He comforts us when we're in trouble so that we can then share that same comfort with others who are in trouble." So again, let's find freedom and healing and so that we can help others. So in 2026, just a few things that I want to challenge us all to do. First, physically, let's start moving, okay? Let's move. Let's get these old tired joints and muscles, and let's get up and start moving. Let's work off some of the cookies and some of the eggnog and some of the lasagna or the ham or the turkey, whatever it is that you had. Let's get up. And the easiest way to do that is to get up and start walking. Or there's something else that you can do. It's called rucking. Rucking is putting weight in a backpack and just walking. So it's kind of better on your joints than running, but it gets you up, it gets you moving. It's a great core exercise. You say, "Hey, Tim, maybe I'm not even at that point yet." I want you to pick up Yvette. Yvette sings up here on the worship team. Y'all know Yvette. She wrote a book. We have it out in our church merch, and it's about chair yoga. Okay, and it will help you get moving. There she is. You were over there last time. Yeah, had me all mixed up here, Yvette. Yeah, and it will help you get moving. It'll help you loosen up your joints and your muscles, and it was really a good book to pick up. So pick that up. How about join a gym? I mean, we have our own trainer here, Al, man. He owns Infinity Fitness. He's a great trainer. He can set you on a path not only of physical fitness but of nutrition also. If you live somewhere that maybe that's too far away, find a gym, find something, and start moving. For emotional healing and freedom, we have our pastoral care department here at the Father's House. We have freedom coaches that are trained brothers and sisters that just want to have a cup of coffee with you. They just want to hear what's going on in your life, and then together seek what the Holy Spirit would say to bring you the freedom and the healing that you need to move forward in 2026. Do you need to break a bad habit? get over some hurts, get over some hang-ups, then Celebrate Recovery is for you. Every Monday night at 5:30, right here in the church. Doesn't matter if it's a holiday. Doesn't matter if it's raining. They'll probably be here if there's a hurricane out. Our Celebrate Recovery leaders are the best. They love people. All they want to do is help you find the freedom and the healing that they have found through this very, very important program, and it will help create community. Are you dealing with pain that's caused from negative feelings and actions and you're not sure where this is coming from? Another opportunity for you moving into 2026 is called the Ultimate Journey. If you're interested in finding what maybe in my past is causing me to act like this or feel like this now, just take out a connection card, write Ultimate Journey on it, and we'll get back with you and help link you with the new Ultimate Journey group. Spiritually, we all need to grow spiritually in 2026. So we are going to start the year this year with our 21-day fast. It begins on January 5th. I am so excited about our fast. We're going to do daily video encouragements for you. It'll be on our social media and on our website. Go on our website, and again, QR code's on this side this time. There it is. And shoot that and find out more about the different types of fasts. A lot of us will do the Daniel fast. Some people will do liquids. Some people will just deny themselves certain foods or certain things that kind of take up their time. But I want to say this to you, and this is something my dad, he was a pastor, used to say to me when I was young. He said, Tim, if you're not replacing the time that you spend eating or the time you spend on that activity, time spent with God, then you're just on a 21-day diet. So let's be purposeful during the fast to connect with our Heavenly Father. The beginning of this year, Pastor Terry challenged me to really begin spending that time during the fast and praying in my prayer language. And I want to tell you, it rejuvenated my life. It rejuvenated me spiritually. It brought me closer to God than I think maybe I had ever been. I've been able to continue that through the year, but I'm really looking forward to really just dedicating these 21 days to getting close to God again. The last thing is, for serving the world and for yourself, is to choose to serve the world, serve others. So as, not when you're getting healthier, but as you're getting healthier, like day one, begin praying for opportunities to serve others. Ask God for those divine appointments. Ask Him to show you where those appointments are. Who are you bringing into my life that I can serve, that I can help, that I can minister to also? See, Jesus calls us in John 21 to feed my sheep, and in Luke 10 to heal the sick or help others get well and break free. How about this? Let's choose to make disciples. Let's work the TFH vision. Please say this with me this morning. Let's remind ourselves. We are developing fully devoted followers of Christ. One more time. We are developing fully devoted followers of Christ. In 2026, let's invest and invite. Let's bring people into the house of the Lord, right? What I'd love for you to do in 2026, if all of us would be purposeful to lead one person to Jesus, to share the gospel with one person. Think about it. If we all did that, God's kingdom would double in size in our area, right? In your area, in your school, in your workplace, wherever you are. Let's be very, very purposeful to do that. And again, it'll double and keep going, right? You do that in the beginning of the year, maybe you can do two or three. And that person will do another person. And that person will lead another person. Be like that old commercial, right? And so on and so on and so on and so on. Again, let's do this. Let's build the kingdom of God. Let's bring people in here where they can be fed, because we are a church that cares where you're going and not. We are a church that cares where you're going and not. Absolutely. And that is really, truly who we are here at the Father's house. As we bring this to a close, your life is not a gig. It was never designed to be a gig. It's a calling. And as Pastor Simone so elegantly taught us a couple weeks ago, you live out this calling where God has planted you. In your school, in your job, in your community, in your social circle that you hang out in, wherever it is, where you shop, Wherever it is that you are, God has planted you to live this out, to live your calling out. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to talk to those of us that are serving God, that we would call ourselves Christians. And you might say, Tim, this kind of hit me hard because 2025 was not really a joyful year for me. I want to pray for you, but I need to know who I'm praying for. So if you just lift your hand up, by that hand you'd say, I could really use some more joy in 2026 than I had in 2025. Hands going up all over the sanctuary. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for those of us today that would say, yes, God, I need more joy. I need to make some purposeful change in my life so that I can have joy in my life. Lord, lead us and guide us. Show us. We open our hearts to receive the joy, Holy Spirit, that you want to place inside of us. We humble ourselves before you to become closer to you, to get to know you better, to be able to serve others, to grow and find freedom in ourselves so that we can give that freedom to others. And in turn, we receive all of the joy that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we continue in this attitude of prayer, you might say, Timmy, I'd like some joy, but you were talking about Jesus. I'm not really sure that I even have him. I know who he is. Or maybe you say, yeah, you know, I walked with Christ when I was younger. I walked with Jesus when I was younger, but I've kind of strayed away. So if that's you and you could make the best decision to end this year and start the next year by saying, Jesus, I submit my life to you. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to pray for you just like I did the others. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand, come down here. But just as we prayed for the others, I don't know who I'm praying for if you don't raise your hand. So if that's you and you say, Tim, today's the day. Today's the day for that change in my life, either for the first time or for a time, maybe I'm doing this again. Just raise your hand, make eye contact with me so I know who I'm praying for. Thank you. I see that hand right there. Thank you. Thank you. If this is you online and you're saying, Tim, today's that day, write that in the chat. I see your hand back here. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to pray. And because we are a church family, nobody should ever say this prayer together. So we as a church family are going to say this together. So let's repeat this prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending your son to be born and then die for me. I accept the forgiveness that his death gives me. I accept your grace, and I want to serve and follow you. In 2026, as best as I can, I'm going to follow you, learn to know you, so that I can love you and serve others. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let's celebrate together as family. New members coming into the family.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.